The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor van Vuren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
Before we jump into today's message, have you been enjoying these podcast episodes from The Daily Witness? Would you like more? Consider subscribing to The Daily Witness on YouTube for video content and for our Wednesday evening live streams, which takes place at 6:30. We also stream for the Telegram app at the same time. For word, quotes, ministry updates and more, follow us on social media. The Daily Witness is on X, Instagram, and Threads. Faith is what connects us to the Father. So remember, faith comes by hearing. So keep on hearing.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "Let him that receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Trevor van Vuren Ministries now has Yoko as a payment portal for safe and secure transactions, both for national and international givers. So if you'd like to tithe into this ministry, or you'd like to sow a financial seed, head on over to our website www.thedailywitness.co.za and click on the Giving tab. All contributions that are received goes into furthering the gospel by reaching the lost and training people to live by faith.
All right. Let us start with tonight's message. And let me just get my clock on as well, because I need to know how long I'm going. Just going to set this here quickly. Okay. We are going to have a really good time in the Word tonight. And you can open up your Bibles in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And we will start in verse 12. You can just hold your place there. But you can get that ready, and we're going to be looking at some other scripture tonight. But from the beginning of this year, you knew that we've been speaking about intimacy with God. And you know, it's so very nice that we are starting to see the fruit that is coming off from that preaching. And I want to refer to Haley. She's looking for a car now, and God's going to bless her with a nice car. And watch this. So she was looking on Facebook Marketplace, and she just had something go off on the inside of her. And she said, "I knew that I should not be looking there." She actually described it like this here: "Down on the inside of me." You know, that just put a big smile on my face. Because why? This is the fruit from John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that we should know the only true God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we've been talking about intimacy with God. We're talking about getting to know Him personally. And for you to have your own personal experience with Him. And it's supposed to be tangible. And you're supposed to have your own personal experiences with Him. And you're supposed to get to know Him and so forth. And I'm just hearing, not just alone from her, I'm seeing it starting to manifest in other people's lives. And this is what God wants, you know. So praying about tonight's message, I thought that we're going to continue. And He said, no. As a matter of fact, I was busy praying, and He brought this message up that I'm going to be preaching tonight three times. And how he brought it up, it literally stirred me up. I'm busy praying in the Spirit, and God is stirring me up. And I'm like, phew, yeah, you know. And I'm starting to go off, and he's showing me some stuff. So if you want to put a title on tonight's message, it's called Keep the Flow of Faith Going. Okay? Keep the Flow of Faith Going. Now, isn't it very interesting? He said to me a couple of years ago, we were teaching on faith, because I just found that so many Christians actually don't know how to live by faith. They've got no cooking clue. They don't know what faith is. They don't know how faith comes. They don't know how to release faith. They don't know all about patience. Patience goes alongside with faith, and you can read that in James chapter 1, by the way, if you're taking down notes and you want to learn a little bit more about that. But there is so many different facets that come together that make faith work. And so we were teaching on these principles, and that was when we still had our other venue, and the Lord spoke to me that night. I think we were 3 or 4 weeks into the series, and he said, it's a good message that you're preaching. I thought, okay. And he said this to me, but I'm not in it. And that statement just arrested me right there. What do you mean you're not in it? He said, everything that you're teaching is good and it's right. But he said, I'm not in it. And he said, he made this statement. He said, in order for you to have faith in God, you need to know Him. And I never, ever forgot that statement. And there's so many people that are starting, well, they try and appropriate the principles of faith, and they never, ever get results. And you know why? Because they don't know Him. And so that's what brought us to this series at the beginning of the year, the Lord said, I want you to teach on intimacy with God. And I want people to know me. And he says, I want to manifest myself with them so that they can get their own personal experience. Everyone, God wants to give everyone a story. And we mentioned about this, and it's just great. You know, we spoke about God's love has got dimensions. There's depth to His love, and there's height to His love, and there's breadth and length. I mean, it's just amazing. So, as you know, we've started this series of sermons from the beginning of the year. And now, he says to me, now you can talk about faith. Wow. Isn't that just appropriate? I think we've come to a place where believers are now starting to see fruit from intimacy with God, like Haley's story and even Frank. Frank just opening up to me today on the phone. It was amazing, Frank. It was a great testimony that you shared earlier as well. Now we can talk about faith. And you know what he said to me? And he mentioned this 3 times to me. He said, people are putting brakes on their faith. Listen to that. And he's stirred me up, man. I tell you what, I was busy praying in the Spirit, and he brought this topic up to me, and we're going to go through some stuff. And, you know, when God starts talking and he starts breaking down a message for you, you got to write quick, boy. I tell you what, otherwise you're going to miss out on stuff. So it's a good thing we're recording this message, and then you can go over it and take down your own notes. But this is why we record these things, because faith comes by hearing, and comes by hearing, and comes by hearing. It never ever stays. You've got to keep feeding. You've got to keep feeding your faith. Keep feeding your faith. Keep feeding your faith. So he said, don't put the brakes on your faith. And I find so many believers are doing that. Why do we wait for things to be perfect first before we want to use our faith? Faith is supposed to be like an express train, not a passenger train. What's the difference? Well, with an express train, there's only one start and there's only one finish. There are no multiple stops in between. Jesus, here's a good illustration. Jesus cursed the fig tree by faith in Mark chapter 11, and we're going to go there now. Let's just read that quickly. Mark chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 12. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here. And we're going to read up to verse 26. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now note this, his disciples didn't say anything. Okay? And they carried on. Now they're off onto Jerusalem. So they passed the fig tree, done and dusted. They came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. Okay? And in the morning, this is the next day now. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling Jesus to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold the fig tree which you cursed. It withered away. This is amazing. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. And he went on to say, for verily I say unto you that whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you will receive it. And watch this, and you'll have it. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, the point of this whole message was this. Jesus took the opportunity and he cursed the fig tree. Now watch this. He did not hang around the fig tree to see if anything happened yet. You see, he curses the fig tree. Note that because nothing happened, the disciples didn't say anything. Didn't stand out to them. Jesus cursed the fig tree and away he goes. And the disciples follow him. He does not have this fig tree on his mind. I sure hope that fig tree dies. So we got to come past that fig tree tomorrow. I wonder, did God do something about it while I'm away? Oh, Father, please curse that fig tree. Father, be with that fig tree right now. He did not do that. As a matter of fact, they went to the temple. He's not even thinking about the fig tree. Get the image in your head. He's not even thinking about this fig tree. He's cross with these oaks that are turning the temple into a marketplace, and he gives them a rebuke. I mean, this is the famous story where he pulls out cords and he flips over tables and he's shouting at these oaks. And he turns around and he walks back. Now, this is the next day. Guess what he did? Walked right past that fig tree. Was the fig tree dried up from the roots? Yes. Why didn't Jesus stop and check and say, "You see, boys, you see what I did? You see? You guys heard me yesterday. I cursed it. Look, 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 look. Let's do it, young. Die ding is droog." He didn't do that. Watch this. He did not apply brakes on the faith. It was Peter that said, "Oh, Master, the fig tree that you cursed, that thing withered away. It's actually gone. This is amazing." And then Jesus used the opportunity and taught them about the faith. But the point is, he didn't apply any brakes to his faith. The faith just went on. He carried on in Jerusalem. He gave his teaching, but the faith was working on the tree all the time. If you are sick, you should keep moving forward as if that sickness does not exist. Don't apply the brakes to your faith. You should live by faith as if your issue in your life is gone for good. You got to get stubborn about what God has done for you. You can't wait for God to move first before you want to speak and act like you are in faith. Peter did not wait for the water to turn into a concrete sidewalk first before he decided to get out the boat. He got out the boat knowing full well that there's water there and you're going to sink. You see, a lot of people, why didn't the other disciples get out? They had the brakes. They had the brakes on their faith. See, their foot was on the brake pedal. That's why they didn't get out. Peter was the one that said, "If it's you, Lord, tell me so that I'll come." Jesus said, "Come." He didn't say, "Yeah, but." See, the minute you start with that, "Yeah, but," your foot's on the brake. I mean, that water, I don't know how deep it was. But he got out and he walked as if that water was concrete. The other disciples would have gotten out if the water turned, let's say, for instance, to ice. Then they would have gotten out. That's not faith. That's your foot on the brake pedal. How long is it going to take for you to get to your destination if you keep your foot on the brake pedal all the time? You're always thinking about your but. What if? What are you waiting for? Some people are wondering what's taking God so long with their miracle. Yet, it's with them, but in fact, it's their foot that's on the brake pedal the whole time. What's holding you back? If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, you can make a note of that. It says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." You cannot walk by faith and walk by sight at the same time. That's like you being behind the steering wheel of the car. The car's on, The car is in gear, but your foot is on the brake and it's on the accelerator at the same time. So the car is revving, but you're not going anywhere. This is the problem with so many believers. And what God is saying to us is, just take your foot off the brake. Just go. Yeah, but what if? Just go. Why are you saying what if? It's based in fear. Because I'll tell you why. I'll make it simple for you. Well, what if God doesn't come through? What if I do believe and He doesn't come through for me? That's what it is. That's what it boils down to. That's why your foot's on the brake. That's why you're hoping God will see you spending time in the Word. He'll see you praying. He'll see you doing all your praises and so forth. But your foot is on the brake. You're waiting for God to prepare the road for you first before you decide to take your foot off the brake and allow it to go forward on the accelerator. And I'm telling you something right now. That is not how faith works. He's not going to tar the road for you. You need to take your foot off the brake and you need to go. The man that wanted his daughter healed, and his servant said in Luke chapter 8, verse 49 and 50, and his servant said, "Trouble not the master, for your daughter is dead." And Jesus spoke to him before he could say anything in response to that message. And this is Jesus' words to him. He says, "Fear not, believe only." Listen. This guy came to Jesus in the first place for help. When he left the house, she was still alive. Okay? Now, he got Jesus' attention and Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to come with you." So they start heading to the house. And you know the story, if you go and read Luke chapter 8, the woman with the issue of blood comes and she intervenes. And Jesus stops. The whole procession stops. And she gets healed. And then Jesus turns around. And then she gives her whole testimony. And you'll read that. I think the one account is in Mark chapter 5. And the other one's in Luke chapter 8. She gives her whole account. So now they're standing there. Can you imagine what's going through this father's mind? Can we just get a move on? Because how the story goes is she was at the point of death. Now eventually they decide they're going to move on. And as they're going down, here comes two of his servants and said, "Trouble not the master, but your daughter's dead." Is that a good time to put your foot on the brake? Even at the point of death, Jesus says, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." You know what I hear in that? Take your foot off the brake. Keep going. You got no reason to stop. Keep going. Keep going. Take your foot off the brake. So much of the time, we are listening to our circumstances first. We allow our circumstances to dictate us. And these are distractions. This is what the enemy brings to us. And the first thing we do, by default, got our foot on the brake. And we ain't going nowhere. The Shunammite woman, go to 2 Kings chapter 4. I love this story, man. This is so good. This is a little bit of reading, but it's good for you. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 16. And we are going to read up to verse 37. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 16. Now listen to this. The Shunammite woman, and this is the story with Elisha and a lot of people say Elisha. This is the prophet Elisha. And he said, about this season, this is Elisha talking to the Shunammite woman, about this season, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, you are a man of God. Do not lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Now, apparently some scholars believe that he suffered a heat stroke here. And that's why he died. But it's not proven. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. About this time, how many mothers are going to apply the brakes because someone just died, so that's it, that's the end. Nothing else can be done at this point. Foot on the brake pedal, some are pulling up the handbrake as well, and you switch the car off. Not this woman. Check this out. Verse 21. She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. Okay, for those of you who don't know anything about this story, this was a woman that greatly respected the prophet of God. She went to her husband and said, can't we build a house for this man of God? So when he comes into town, I want him staying at our place. And they made it really nice. And I think I mentioned this in the one offering message. It was like an Airbnb for him, okay? So what she did was she took her son, who's dead now, and put him on the prophet's bed. She shut the door and she left. Do you see any breaks so far? I see no breaks. Okay. And she called to her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. Watch this. He said, wherefore will you go to him today? It's neither new moon or Shabbat. And she said, it will be well. Wow. Huh? Her son is lying dead as a doornail. She didn't say a word to her husband. She just went. That's what we're talking about. Keep the flow of faith going. Stop putting your foot on the brakes. Just keep going. Yeah, but you can't expect me to walk on water. Walk on water. Walk on water. Yeah, but what if? Whoa. Take your foot off the brake. Take your foot off the brake. She said, it will be well. Then she saddled the ass and said to a servant, drive and go forward. Slack not for your riding for me, except if I tell you to. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder, is that the Shunammite? Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Wow. Still, her foot's not on the brake. She's getting challenged here, but her foot's not on the brake. She's still going. That's how we got to be. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away from the man of, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed in her. And the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take your staff in my hand and go your way. And if you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute you, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. and he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. This is not a good report at this time, okay? But I want you to see they kept the flow of faith going. No one is applying the brakes here. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them and prayed unto the Lord. So now it's just him and the corpse. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up your son. Whew. What an opportunity she would have missed if she kept her foot on the brake. Now, there's times when I understand the situation looks virtually impossible, and the temptation is there to put your foot on the brake. But when you do that, you are halting your faith from working. Remember what I said. You cannot keep your foot on the brake and be in faith at the same time. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. What makes you apply the brakes? Let's go to the book of Romans. What makes you apply your foot to the brake? Romans chapter 8. And we'll look at verse 5-8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5-8. And he's making a clear distinction. There is a separation here at this point between the flesh and the spirit. In verse 5, he says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. There's the difference right there. Let's just look at that again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to have a carnal mind? It just simply means this. You move by what you see. What did we say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? It says we walk by faith, but not by sight. Faith is a spiritual force. It doesn't need proof in the natural to see if something is happening. That's why when Jesus cursed the tree, he kept going. But when they came back the next day, the disciples pointed it out. Why? They were carnal. They were moved by what they saw. It impressed them. Wow! The fig tree had dried up. This is amazing. But Jesus was going to walk past it. Didn't faze him at all. He's spiritually minded. They carnally minded. You can't be in faith and in the flesh at the same time. Because I can tell you something right now. When you're in the flesh, your foot's automatically on the brake. And that is what's going to prevent you from seeing the end of your faith. That's it. There's nothing else to it. And I think for a lot of believers, that's the scary part. Because what if I do take my foot off the brake? Now, you shouldn't say that. Your foot shouldn't be on the brake in the first place. You're waiting for all these perfections first. You're waiting for things to change first before you decide to believe. That's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. You've got to take your foot off the brake. You've got to keep your foot on the accelerator. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep the flow of faith going all the time. Yeah, but, you know, I'm believing for a job and the economy is down. Your foot's on the brake. Yeah, there's a lot of businesses shutting down right now. Your foot's on the brake. How's my business ever going to grow with what's happening with all these taxes? Your foot is on the brake. I'm believing for healing, but there's nothing that's happened. Your foot's on the brake. Take your foot off the brake. Stop telling me about why it won't work for you and start telling me why it is going to work for you. Keep your foot on the accelerator. Keep going. God is faithful. So he says here, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's what you're going to do. You're going to look at why it's not going to work for you. He says, but they that are after the Spirit, they are mindful. You see what's on their mind? They are mindful of the things of the Spirit. And then he says, to be carnally minded is death. What does it mean to be carnally minded? You're telling me why it's not going to work. You're going to tell me why your boss doesn't like you. That's why you're not going to get promoted. You're going to tell me why no one's going to buy your stock. You're going to tell me why no one's going to come to your business. That's carnally minded. It's death. God's not going to feel sorry for you. Yeah, but, you know, I'm looking for a car. But all the cars, they're trash, young. Yeah. And they're expensive and the kilometers are high. Your foot's on the brake. It's a carnal mind. It's death. You're not going to see that car. I'm just using it as an example. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Just hear the Spirit say this. Don't be afraid to take your foot off the brake. Don't be afraid to take your foot off the brake. So then they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Faith takes it. It keeps it. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It's mine from now on. And I'm not letting go until I see manifestation. That's with your foot on the accelerator. Now, you get around people like that, and when they talk, they sound crazy. I pull up here into this driveway. I say, man, I don't know where we're going to park. And Jason knows. Where are we going to park? These people took my parking, this whole congregation. I got to make a parking there for pastors. My foot's off the brake, man. I don't know where God's going to bring the people. I don't care. I'm not waiting for things to be perfect first before I start believing him. I'm just going. I can hear the sound of the people talking. I can hear the fellowship taking place. You know, the hustle and bustle. The foyer is packed. The cars are packed in the driveway. I can see the Spirit of God moving. I can see people running up and down, spinning, falling under the power of God. My foot's off the brake. I don't know how he's going to do that, but he's going to do it. We're going to end off in this. Proverbs. This is really good. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And let's look at verse 25. And we're going to read through to 27. And he says, let your eyes look right on. And let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. You know what he's saying to you? Don't be distracted. The distractions are supposed to be there. You can't live in this world and not be distracted. I mean, that's what makes it faith. And, you know, I've told you this before. What is faith? Faith is, here's the definition of faith. It's just simply confidence in God. You know what? When your foot is on the brake, you are saying God can't do it. I don't know how God's trying to do this. You're getting over into your head. You allowing what you see and what you hear and what you can taste and smell and touch to dictate you and tell you what God can't do for you. That's why you've got to make sure your foot is off the brake, because it's a lie. All things are possible to him that believes. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. There are things there. They're supposed to be there. They're supposed to distract you. You don't have to be afraid. You know how you don't pay attention? Put your foot flat down on the accelerator. There's no speed limit in the kingdom. Jy trek weg, Jan. You sommer do 120, 140. No problem. When you're moving at that speed, guess what? The left and the right, those distractions become a blur. But when you slow down, you're paying attention. And you're going to stop. And you're going to be robbed. Faith works. Faith works every single time you put it to work. You go and have confidence in God. And I'll tell you something right now. You will see the end of your faith every single time. Were you blessed tonight?
Yes.
Come on, I'm not convinced.
Yes.
Were you blessed?
Yes.
Come on, man. Is your foot on the accelerator or on the brakes?
Yes. On the accelerator.
That's it. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Okay, that's what we have for you tonight. I hope that you guys were blessed. And I hope that you got something out of this. And let's end off in a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to have you as a father. We have learned about intimacy with you. And because we have this intimacy with you, we got our own personal experiences, and we come to a place where we can actually trust you. And we don't have to live a life where our foot is on the brake all the time. You know, something that was supposed to only take an hour from here to there, maybe it takes 6 hours for other people because their foot is on the brake every time. They're stopping every 5 minutes. But Lord, help us. Help us to break free from that fear. Not be afraid. Have this confidence in you. Guess what? I've got a good father, and this is going to work out fine. I'm taking my foot off the brake, and we're just going to go. Father, thank you for bringing us to a place where people can hear the rev counter just go through the roof. Everyone is just revving, and they're just going because they got faith in you. And Lord, thank you for bringing all of their dreams to pass. No matter what it is, people are looking for employment. People want their businesses prospering. People are looking for direction, healing, miracles. Lord, bring us to a place where our faith in you is strong. We thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that this word will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. We love you, but we know that you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. And like we always say, remember, faith comes by hearing.
Hey everyone, if you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.